Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. This show has been a little over a year in the making. And what we're going to talk, my guest is Kathy Lauer, who you've seen before on, she's been on several times as a guest host, and also with her band Sister Skinner, which I'm wearing the shirt right now, my Sister Skinner shirt. And
looking
but
she, good there, Jeff. Looking good.
But the also too, she with her husband own Tone Zone LA, and they build custom pedal boards. And a little over a year ago, I started talking to her about, with the intention of doing it as a show, but also to use in my own guitar playing, of building a pedal board specifically for my acoustic guitar. And what we have for you today, as you can see here on the Facebook live stream, this is that pedal board that we finally built. And it's pretty interesting what we did. So we're going to go back and forth a little bit, because part of it is how she executed it, and then also too part of what I needed and what I was trying to get into the pedal board, what I wanted it to be able to do. So we're going to kind of work back and forth a little bit, and it's an interesting pedal board. I think you'll like it, and maybe it'll give you an idea of what you want for yourself, and give you some ideas and make and just go into a little bit of the thought process, because it took a lot of thinking and hassling out, figuring out what we wanted to do and what the options were, what the problems were, to finally get this set up the way it was. And it's a beautiful pedal board. And I just want to thank Kathy for making it. Really works very cool. I've been playing with it, and it's just, it's great for both studio and for live performance. So I'm going to first start off with, we'll start with you, me approaching you and how you approached that. Well, it's going to be a give and take. So I'll start with you first.
Well, you know, Jeff first came to me, and he, like he mentioned, he wanted to build a pedal board for his acoustic guitar. And like most clients that come to me, we kind of get a little in depth on what they want and what they need out of it. And so the first thing I did was ask Jeff, what do you want on it? And what do you need on it? What does it need to do? Complete and try to, you know, put a little bit of thought into what you want to incorporate, what you want to do with it. How many functions does it need to do? Is it going to function as an acoustic and an electric board? Is it going to function solely as an acoustic board? Does it need to work for just the studio? Or does it need to function for a live board as well? And that's how I approached Jeff, asking those very questions. And mm-hmm. and that's and I'll let Jeff answer that question, you know, to all of you out there, so you can kind of understand how we came to actually build this specific board here.
So let me start out real quick. A lot of my friends now that are playing acoustic guitar live, especially my very good friends in Incendio, J.P. Durand and Jim Stubblefield, some other guitarists, Dan Sistos and Ben Woods, all of them are using electric acoustic guitars, whether it's classical or steel string. And what they're finding is because they're a lot of times they're playing in venues where they have a good PA system, or if they're traveling out of town and they come into a place when they're doing like a festival or something, they need something they can set up real quick and plug in to live and have a live setup. And especially I've watched the process go on with Jim Stubblefield. He's gone through many different preamps and many different devices and stuff to get his ultimate sound, and it's still evolving. And but it was interesting because I got a good idea of what the problems were and what needed to be done. Now, this pedal board, besides being a setup to be able to use live, I also wanted it to be able to be clean enough and so that I could use it in the studio. So it functions both ways. So what I needed were certain basic effects in it. It's in terms of the layout, it's got the basic food groups. It's not really fancy. There's a couple of pedals in there that are a little more exotic, but basically, I'll just point out a little bit. I have a compressor. I'm using the Wampler Ego compressor. And the reason I asked for this one is because it has a mix control. So I can mix between the uncompressed sound, which an acoustic guitar has a lot of dynamic. For example, if I was playing a classical guitar doesn't have a lot of sustain, but it has a lot of attack. So I can have the attack, but I can still use the compressor to make it a little more consistent and get a little meatier sound. So that's why I chose that. And I have it set up so that, and we talked about this too, it's almost exactly the signal flow. So the compressor, and we'll explain where everything is going. But the next thing is the Funky Monkey. It's an Ottawa, and I wanted that for a specific effect I'll show you in a minute. And the next one is the Phase 95. It's a smaller version of the MXR Phase 90, but it has, you can switch to the Phase 45, to the more pronounced phase, like the Eddie Van Halen one, so it has a little more resonance in it. And then over the next one over there is the purple one, is the Vortex Flanger. So it's a basic flanger. The reason I pulled the Vortex is because it goes to past 0 point. So it flanges and it cancels and it goes to the negative and it comes back up. So it's a little more of it's closer to the original tape-to-tape flange. And then
there was an important thing to ask too, and I needed to ask Jeff this as well, is how do you want these pedals to access them? Are you going to use combinations of them? Are you going to do them one at a time? Are they something that you regularly would have on, or that you would use at any given time, or at a whim, and how he want to incorporate him in his signal chain. So I asked Jeff this, and because this was an important part of the board we're going to lead up to describe to it, and we'll get to that in a minute. But that's what, you know, asked Jeff. Okay, how do you want to use these?
Right now, the two main parts that will be used a lot in conjunction with the effects. Basically, you have the compressor effects, and at the end there, the red box is the reverb. The reverb more than less would be used all the time, depending on, unless I needed a really dry sound or one of the other effects had, which we'll show in a minute because I can patch in another effect. But basically, the reverb will be used all the time and the compressor in and out most of the time. So those basically would be on constantly. In terms of the processors, the Funky Monkey, the Phaser, and the Flanger, more than likely I use one I'll either flange for something or I'll phase for something, but I very rarely use a flange and phase at the same time. I've done it for special effects on electric guitar, but I very rarely do that. So it basically those three pedals on and off when I need it. But the front and the back end, the compressor and the reverb, for the most part, will be on. So there would be a mix of the compressor with one of the effects pedals and the reverb.
That said, we talked about actually giving Jeff the option of actually combining these said pedals, the Funky Monkey, the Phase 95, and the Vortex Flanger, even though typically he indicated that he would use them probably one at a time. He did want the option of combining them, but not tap dancing. And that led us to the decision, which is what you're looking right here, which is the Decibel 11 Switch Doctor, which is a really small, kind of convenient, four-loop, programmable looper, right. Switcher.
Now, one of the other things that was important, and it's part of the design, and the Decibel 11 came in really handy for that. Coming from an engineering background, and I've used a lot of stuff where I've patched a lot, working with Moog synthesizers and stuff, I've patched and used effects all the time. Plus, this is like a basic pedal board in terms of the basic food groups. There are other exotic pedals that I might need to use in a session. So one of the things that I requested specifically was patch points where I can insert before the effects chain and after the effects chain. So what she did is there's a fourth loop. There's actually four loops on that Decibel 11. So the fourth one is actually a patch point, which we have and we'll show you in a minute. And then before all of that stuff, I think it's after the compressor, there's a patch point here if I want to. Now, tonight I'm to show you that it doesn't really work well with acoustic guitar, but I brought a distortion unit because I could use this with electric guitar. It actually will work with electric guitar system if I used a distortion device in here. So I have that in here, so we'll show you where each of the patch points. But the patch bay was critical because I can now the board isn't fixed. I can add something when I need it. Would say that, for example, in this fourth loop at the end of the chain, I can put in there, I want a delay. I can put a delay in there before the reverb. So I delay into the reverb. Or another one we were talking about is a pedal that I have that's a Leslie cabinet, a rotating speaker. So I can do a rotating speaker in there.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those are desirable effects that I've used in the studio with acoustic guitar besides electric guitar. So this patch point, this fourth loop, gives me that flexibility to be able to do that kind of stuff on the fly, especially in the studio. So that's a critical thing. That was a big deal for me to be able to patch in there and then insert in the front. If I wanted a Octavox or something else before the effects, something, you know, right now I'm using a distortion device, but there are other types of devices that might work with acoustic guitar that might, a doubler or something like that, that I could actually use to fatten up the sound and then go through the processor.
You could put even a filter or a graphic EQ or like a POG 2 or a POG or a micro POG. Any of that stuff actually right after the compressor would do very well right there. So the creative possibilities with that insert point there is really advantageous to, especially if you're using this board in the studio.
Yeah.
And by the way, folks, it's important to note that everything you're listening to with the board that you hear tonight is actually coming out of the direct injection or the DI from the LR Bags para DI. So that's what we're actually listening to. We're not going out of the main out, which is also another output that is wired into his system. So it's literally going straight into the board that we're using here for recording.
Right.
So
now, these two, there's two outputs. There's a right here, which nothing's plugged into, is an unbalanced out. And that's the one that would go to an amplification system or something.
Right.
This one here this XLR connector right here that I'm pointing to right here is the balanced out, which is going right now into the board. Now, one of the things that I requested, and I noticed that Jim and JP and those guys were using a lot, to go from rhythm guitar to lead guitar, if they're playing a melody or something like that, they used a boost so that they could bring the volume up quickly and fast. So I had her get me the exotic EPS boost, and it can boost up 6 or 8 dB. So you can cut real fast and then you kick it out and you play rhythm again, because it's too clumsy on the guitar. The LR Bags system that I have in my Martin has a volume control, but it's under the, you know, it's in the sound hole and it's kind of clumsy to get to. So I'd rather just keep that set and then be able to just change by a foot switch. The only thing is that is wired to this unbalanced out. So when I use the unbalanced out, that boosts. So in a live situation, I would be using this connector. In the studio, it's not as critical because I'd probably overdub the lead and then they just mix it to the volume that they wanted. So that's the way that was set up. And the other thing is, because of the live aspect of it, for the most part, this board is set up to be in mono because I'm using one guitar. I'm not using a stereo reverb out of it. Again, in a live situation, that doesn't really, most of the time, the PA is putting everything out in mono. They don't usually do a lot of a stereo sweep. In the studio, probably I wouldn't use the reverb. I would probably have record dry unless I was using the processors, and then they would pan it out and spread it. So let's go through the basic signal path so you can explain how you solved the problem of what I needed.
Okay, it definitely was a challenge to do this. Not terribly difficult, but it took a little thought process, and I credit Jeff a lot for this because he knew what he wanted. So together we put our heads, and that's kind of how we'd like to do things at Tones Up. We really the client's kind of king here. So we confer, try to get you what you need that works best for you. And Jeff's board is a perfect example of that. So let's start with from the input, which is, this is his patch bay. He's pointing to the input right there. That goes directly into the tuner, which is the mini tuner, the TC Electric's mini poly tune right there. And the reason we put the tuner first is because when you kick the tuner on, everything behind it is silent. You've got silent tuning, which is advantageous to 99.9% of guitar players. From the mini tuner, it goes straight into the LR Bags, which is the main preamp signal for his acoustic guitar. It has a lot of tonal control. Jeff asked for a recommendation for a really high end or quality acoustic preamp. We recommended the LR Bags because I've had experience with it. I've heard it many times, and it sounds amazing.
I want to interject one thing. I looked at a lot of different ones, like Jim Stubblefield uses the Grace, which is awesome. The Grace system is really good. The issue here became more of both of them are great and both of them are clean, but this one fit in a smaller footprint. The Grace is great, but it's huge. It's almost double the size. That had a lot to do with my final decision. Plus, I have an LR Bag system in my guitar, so it's compatible. It's actually more compatible, but this works with anything. I can use this with the classical guitar. I have an electric classical. But it's small enough, but it still does everything.
That's an excellent point, Jeff, because the footprint for what we were trying to accomplish for as small as possible, the bags work for it. And like Jeff says, the Grace is an excellent preamp. The Fishman preamps are really good as well. It kind of depends on your individual needs, what you're trying to get out of it, how they're voiced. But the footprint was the probably the deciding factor for the bags here, and it gives you an optimum control over most acoustic instruments. For me personally, it's the only thing I found that actually amplifies a dobro and a metal body resonator fairly accurate, as opposed to some of the other ones I tried. But in Jeff's case, it worked great for the footprint it needed to take on the pedal board. So from the bags, the bags has an internal effects loop that incorporates anything you stick into it internally into the bags, and then spits it out through the output. So from there, we take a stereo cable, and it goes out of the effects loop, and it goes to this little small black box that I'm pointing to and Jeff was pointing to. I custom made that. It's basically taking the effects loop from the LR bags and splitting into a respective send jack and return jack. The reason I did that was to make it easier and for me, number one, to wire it, and because it gave me a separate send and return as opposed to an insert cable where I had to measure and and figure out the distance between what I was incorporating into the effects loop. And if I was ever to make any changes, then I don't have to rip the whole thing out apart. I may only have to adjust one cable for the future use.
The output of this, to save space, it's using what they call a tip ring sleeve, quarter inch plug, which is like your stereo headphone jack plug, where you have it. It has has a middle ring in it, and they use that a lot for effects inserts on live console boards and stuff like that. But it's kind of clumsy, and usually you have to use splitters because all pedals are basically just standard mono plugs, quarter inch plugs. So what she did made perfect sense.
Essentially, I eliminated making a custom insert cable and feeding it into a box and splitting the respective send and return. It made it easier on me and made it easier on the future if Jeff wants to make any changes. So that's all that basically is. So from the send at that point goes the first thing it sees in the LR bag's effects loop is the ego compressor, which is the blue pedal there. And then out of the ego compressor, it goes into the first patch point, and it's labeled, you know, insert input. And then, of course, there's an output as well that incorporates. You have to have an input and an output to incorporate a pedal at that point. So the output comes back into the signal chain, and that actually goes to the decibel 11 switch doctor right here, which is Jeff's four loop switcher right here. And this is a programmable looper. Again, it's made by Decibel 11. You can turn the loops on and off. It's right now it's in the LPS mode, which means loops. It's just you turn loop one on, off, on, off. You can use it very simply like that. Or you can program presets. So if Jeff wants any combination of pedals that he has in hooked up here, whether it's the Funky Monkey, the Phase 95, or the flanger, and or the fourth loop, whatever he has patched in there, he can make presets and hit one button and do any combination of two or more pedals.
So the top three buttons of the Decibel 11 are for the presets.
The top three are for this is banking up, this is banking down, this is switching in your edit mode. The center one here, right now it toggles between the preset mode and the loops mode. We're in the direct access or the loops mode at this point. Right now, that's what LPS means. And then the four switches here are
the four loops,
where you access the four loops individually or presets, depending on how you have the switch doctor setup.
And also notice the way the signal flow goes. So you have the three effects.
Loop one would be the funky monkey. Loop two is phase 95. Loop three is the vortex flanger. And then loop four is the another patch point, the second patch point we have, which is right here. Mm-hmm. And we do have a pedal currently hooked up to it to demonstrate it. But I mean, you can insert anything in there at that point. From that point, it goes out of the decibel 11 switch doctor, and it goes into the Hall of Fame reverb, the TC Electronics Hall of Fame reverb here. From the Hall of Fame reverb, it goes back into the return, the little back box, which is the insert cable really to the LR bags. So now, the Eagle compressor, the Funky Monkey, the Phase 95, the flanger, and the reverb are all in the effects loop of the LR bags. And then from the LR bags output, that goes into the exotic EP boost right there next to it, next to the tuner. And then from the output of the boost, it goes to the main output there,
right here,
where Jeff's pointing. And that is, of course, mono unbalanced. Now, it should be, you can also use, he can also use that unbalanced output in a lining situation to a board as well if he wanted to incorporate the boost and stuff. The direct injection or the DI from the LR bags would not incorporate the exotic EP boost, so because it is only outputting the contents of the LR bags. And since the output of the bags goes into the input of the EP boost, it would not incorporate it through the DI.
Boost, the EP boost isn't balanced, so there's no input like that. It only uses an unbalanced input. So it's this is out of the unbalance of there. There is no place to put it.
And basically that is it. And the other, the blue other cable here is, this is a locking. It's called a Neutrik PowerCon. It's a locking connector to keep your AC connected, so you can't kick it loose accidentally here.
And this input here and this unbalanced output, they're locking.
Yeah.
So nobody can knock your cable out.
Right. And that's essentially the signal chain for Jeff's board here, which is quite flexible and quite adaptable and extremely versatile in terms of whatever he wants to patch in and out of it, besides the pedals that you see, mounted on the board currently.
And I can update. I mean, I can change the pedals if I do a case, if there's something better. I tried to get the smallest ones, like that MXR phaser just came out in a small footprint, so I tried to keep them as small as I could, to keep it on the small of a board, and it seemed to work. And then tell them a little bit, there's a power supply in the back.
Jeff opted to use Strymon's Zuma, power supply, which he asked me for a recommendation. I gave him that. And the reason why I recommended that is not that he necessarily had a lot of high current pedals, but it gave him, first of all, gave him the exact number of taps, isolated taps that he needed, because he has 9 sources. But and the most current he's drawing off his board really is coming from the switch doctor here at about 250 milliamps. But it also gave him the possibility or the option of running the exotic EP boost at 18 volts, which we are doing, because it gives him the most headroom, especially since this is an acoustic board. The headroom, the extra headroom, it kind of makes sense for an acoustic board here. So it's a no-brainer here.
That's the only one that's running 18?
That's the only one that's running 18. We are running the switch doctor here at 12 volts. Because it seems to optimally run better at that. The LR bags is running at 9 volts, and we converted typically the Perry DI is a battery operated device. You'll note
there's folks, a battery thing up here.
There's a battery compartment there, but there's no battery in that. I converted that to 9 volts, and it's running off his Strymon Zuma, so he doesn't obviously have to change batteries all the time. The Perry DI also gives you the option of running it off of phantom power off a board, but if that isn't always the an option for you, I mean, we had to be practical and make it operate at 9 volts. So we just adapted the battery terminals to work with a standard 9 volt power supply, which is Jeff's Strymon Zuma here.
Yeah, so it's that's the basic setup of it. And with the 2 patch points, I can add what I need if there's something that I don't have that I need live or need on a session. So, and I can do it before or after the effects chain, which is important to be able to do. Again, it's set up so that the signal flow is from right to left. So if you look at the pedals, you basically see which way they're going all the way to the end. So it intuitively, it makes sense. And then when you look at the switcher, when you're kicking them in on the decibel 11, again, it follows the same path. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4 over there. So it's just ergonomics.
It's a really well thought out board, but I really got to give the credit to Jeff because he spent time thinking about it. Oftentimes we get clients who, they aren't, they haven't given something that much thought, and they come to us, and we are more than happy to help them, kind of give them options and ideas. And I think what Jeff is trying to stress here is the idea of the patch points and this front, we'll try to show this to you, this front panel where we put all the access points in it. It's a custom patch panel in the front. And this is something we commonly do with, not just acoustic boards, but many electric boards we've done, that you can have. It's kind of the sky's the limit. What you need, you can put there, whether it's MIDI, XLR, patch points, access points for channel switching if you want to mount your amps channel switcher or reverb. I mean, we can all locate that here. It's if you can think it, we usually can build it. And
right.
And this is Jeff's board is a perfect example of this. He's opted to go a little bit further than this and make it definitely a cosmetic. Hey, that's a looker, especially when we show you the front of it. But at Tone Zone, that's kind of what we're all about, is not just what our name says, concentrating on tone, which really we are, but also about making the board ergonomically suited to you, where you want the pedals to be, where they make sense to you. This board is also well thought out in the terms of Jeff has all the pedals that he needs access to closest to him right at his feet, which of course is the looper, the tuner, and the boost. And the ones he doesn't necessarily, especially that are in the loop, are, the Funky Monkey, the Phase 95, and the Vortex. They're, and they're low profile, but they don't need to be high profile because you're accessing them here. But the compressor that's on the end, again, it's accessed with his foot. And of course, the same thing with the Hall of Fame. It all fits right there. That's
the accessibility of them when you're standing there. Obviously, the decibel 11 is the most critical to switch fast. Most of the time, I'm either going to have the compressor in or out. I'm not going to switch it in and out in the middle of a song. And the same thing with the reverb. So they were okay above in having them a little farther away, though they're. The board isn't that big where I can't step on it if I need to. But most of the real critic stuff is on the decibel 11 and the EP boost, this little guy down here. The tuner, same thing. If I'm going to tune, it's quick, it's easy, painless. This guy I need to be be accessibly access this fast, and then there's the inputs. So in that sense, in a live performance in studios thing, it's not a big deal. Again, you're not going to switch in and out all the time. You're going to do something with the flange, or you're going to do something with a phaser, and then do another track with something else. So it's not as of an issue, but that was important too. And just to give you, now this board, it's not a problem because it's not that big, but we were talking about this before the show. There are things as you go, a lot of people, their boards evolve all the time. They're constantly changing. And there's things that I didn't think of. One of my criticisms of me, this is not Tone Zone LA because it was me. It doesn't matter on this board because it's small, but it's something to think about if you're using a bigger board. Handles, so you can pick this up out of the case. I noticed that I can grab it from the middle here under this pedal. There's actually space there where I'm not going to pull any wires or anything. But if you have a bigger board that's heavier and you got a lot of stuff, because the wiring behind there gets pretty complicated, you don't want to mess with it. That's something you got to incorporate in there, is the handles.
Well, so that's another thing too, is like, you know, sometimes people wonder why we take the time and dress a board for that very reason. You got to put your hands there to lift. This is happens to be a Pedal Train Classic 1. I wanted to mention that. And, you know, he fit a lot of board in a small footprint, which is very common for most players to want to do, get as much as they can in the smallest footprint. It's a no-brainer. You don't want those cables flopping around, you know, that you can grab it and yank something loose, because nothing is worse than getting to a gig and go, oh my God, what doesn't work here? And we don't want that for you. We when we send you home with a board, it's got to work, and we test it. We test all your individual pedals at the start, and we test them all as working in a unit when we're done. All our workmanship is guaranteed in terms, because everything is hand soldered, and that includes not only the audio but also all the power. Do you notice that all these pedals are where Jeff wanted them? And that's because we make all the power cables as well, so you can put them where you want them. That's the advantage of us doing it as a pre-made cable. Pre-made cables are great, they're definitive and how long they are, and you kind of have to live with them unless you're going to tweak it. And you definitely don't want something as you're transporting things in and out of a case to come loose and being out. And that's why we do dress these things and make them, you know, neat and tidy.
Yeah, the cables, you can't see it in the back, but it's very, everything's put away and tucked away. So it's pretty robust. It's set up to be work as a road thing. It's, I mean, no, I don't want to throw it around or drop it, but at the same time, it's pretty tough. So, well, let me go ahead and let me grab the guitar and let's show a little bit of how it works.
Okay.
So I'm gonna grab my Martin. And this guitar is set up with an LR bags coming out of it. So this is going right into the input. So right now, it's just a straight signal. There's nothing on. It's just going through the LR bags out to the board. Now, let's go ahead and hit the ego compressor so they can hear what that does.
Okay.
Sound, I can mix it with the compressed sound.
This is the plan. That's completely compressed.
So you can hear it smashing because I'm punching it.
Now, okay. A little bit more. Here,
okay, bring it down to about 50-50. So I'm getting the snap and the transient response of the guitar without the. And now go ahead and let's go to the end of the chain and just put a little bit of reverb on it for right now.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead and kick out the. Let's take the reverb out in the compressor now and go back to the straight sound. And we're going to use the first loop, which is the auto wah. So that's that effect, which is Brett used on that's if. Okay, so go ahead and pull that one loop out and let's go to the phaser. Okay, turn the sweep a little bit so you can hear it a little bit. So it's just basically a phase 90. Okay, and then go ahead and turn that off and let's go to the vortex. Now I tend to use a very subtle, it's flanging, but I'll dial it down a little bit, so it's just a slight cancel. You can hear it, it can get pretty radical. Okay, now let's turn that off. So you've heard the reverb, you've heard all of the different effects that are on the pedal. Now we're going to talk about the patch points. So what I brought today, just to change the signal up, and if I was using electric guitar, again, this I just have it distorted. It's my Raging Ram pedal that I have from Microme. And on an acoustic guitar, it's not a great sound. I would never use this with this pedal, but it just to show you that you can patch something in there that's radically different.
And this is right after the compressor.
Right, before all the effects.
So let's get dirty.
Now go ahead and hit the flanger on the so you can see I can process. Okay, kick that. You're hearing my pickup in my guitar. That's me talking.
Yeah.
Go and hit the phaser. I can do that if I wanted to, and I could do the same. You can go ahead and take the distortion out, but you can hear it. I can process any. So if I had like an octave box or something like that, or a pog or something, I can. That would be the spot you'd want to put it in, so that I can use all of the processors. Now, I have the extra loop at the end. What I brought today was a New Neighbor Seraphim, and it's got its own little reverb in there. And it does like a little harmonic thing.
So we'll kick that in.
So I can plug in that or a Leslie or a delay. Anything. So you have that flexibility. You can patch in, and to me, that's a critical thing because you need to be able to adapt the pedal board. As most guitarists know, playing live or in sessions, anything can happen, and you got to be prepared for any eventuality. Something you might need something. Hey, you know, I got this really, you know, like that auto wah sound. Let's say that I wanted to get more authentic, like that Brett used. What he used was a mini Moog triggering from the guitar. So it was a mini Moog doing the auto wah. I could patch into the filter of a mini Moog from that patch point and trigger it and actually use the filter from a Moog synthesizer to get that sound if I wanted to at that point. So I could actually do that. I can interface with other instruments, or I could even interface with onboard equipment. So any rack mount type of thing that'll accept a line from that, a guitar level line. So I can bring anything in there. The possibilities are endless, and that way the board isn't limited. It's set up to be used in any situation, and it'll grow with me.
Awesome. I think your board sounds awesome, Jeff.
Now, we want to talk a little bit about there's something on here that I had her do, and it was a really pain to do for her, and I really appreciate it, but it's super cool. One of the things, because I was doing this and we were integrating this into a show, is I wanted to be able to, show, you know, to promote Tone Zone LA. I wanted to be able to let people know who made this pedal board. So what I asked her for was in the front panel, we're going to lift this up and show you the panel. In the front panel, I asked her to put her logo on it, and I asked her to illuminate it so that we can light it up, which caused all sorts of interesting situations, but we got it done. It's pretty amazing. So when I play, you can actually see her logo. It lights up on here. I'm going to stand up, and I'll need you to turn it on, and then we'll kind of flip it backwards so you can kind of see. It'll be upside down, but you'll get an idea.
It's definitely a Tone Zone first.
Yes. Okay, so grab it on each side. Okay, lift it up and just tilt it over. Turn it on. There you go. I think you can see it. So it actually lights up.
And they got a view of the patch point, the patchway too.
Yeah, so you can see. Let me get back to the microphone. I'm too far away. So you can see what's going on there. But it's really nice, and it also lights up the floor a little bit so I can see where stuff is. Because that's where I'm going to probably put a cable or put a pedal. So anyway, so you have this fully integrated system where you can patch. The patch play, I can't stress that enough. If you're building a pedal board, keep the options. And it's a really simple thing to do. Now, the other thing that people have come up to me, and I told them about this pedal board and stuff like that, and, you know, the kind of stuff, there's a lot of labor. This is very labor intensive. And what you have to understand, a lot of guys, a lot of my friends, including me, I've done it myself. My electric guitar board that I use right now, I built myself and put together, and looks like spaghetti, but it works. But the thing is, this board is set up for me to just put down, plug it in, and it works. And it's simple to the point, and it's stable. All the components are rigid and rugged. There's nothing here. I mean, there's nothing I'm stressing. The only cables that might get some problems would be these cables that I'm plugging in. But in terms of the whole unit, it's really solid. And you need it to be working every night. And this thing, I can plug it in and I can do whatever I need to do. And that's really critical, especially if you're touring a lot, especially if you're gigging all over the place. You need to be able to set up fast. I used to use pedals and chain them all together, and it took me like an hour just to set everything up. This thing I can do in 5 minutes. It's real simple. So I can't stress enough the importance, because people go, well, you know, it's expensive, you know, it's labor intensive. There is a reason. It does save you, and you know, you don't have a lot of time sometimes to set up. I used to get in trouble a lot because it would take me an hour to hour and a half to set up, and at least an hour to tear down everything and put everything away. So it's important that you do something that will be rugged, and that's one thing that Tones on LA does, is they make it so it's bulletproof. She's been another thing too I want to point out as a guitar player. Talking to her about the pedals, she would say, well, why do you want this pedal there? And as a guitar player, as I explained to her what I needed to do, the type of effect I was going, she totally got it, because she's a guitar player. She's playing live all the time with Sister Skinner. She's using effects a lot, so she totally gets what's going on. And that makes it a lot easier, because she understands, as a live player, she understands what the issues are and the problems are. And I think that helped a lot. And her feedback to me well, you know, we should maybe map it this way, or we should use this thing, made a big difference, because there was stuff I wasn't even aware of, that it could, the capabilities. And she was, this is pretty simple. I have it set up, turn it on and off. It's pretty basic. But she, the potential of that, especially that switcher, can do a lot. It's very sophisticated, and I can actually do a lot more than what I usually use. So the possibilities are endless. And she has the insight to tell you of these, of some of these devices, the flexibility that's there. This little preamp, this Para-DI, is amazing. There's a lot of patch points. It does a lot of stuff. It's small, and it's clean. It really does work. So anyway, I just wanted to stress that. It's really, it's important if you're gigging all the time, something like this. And now a lot of guys want smaller pedal boards to take with them on the road, on the plane, that they can put in the upward luggage. This would, my road case is too big, I think, for the upward luggage rack. But if I put this in a soft case, I could actually put it above in the, on a plane. I could actually put this. And it's pretty rugged. It should be, it should be able to handle it. So anyway, give them the information on how to get a hold of you on Tone Zone LA.
We're, well, you can find us online, www.tonezonela.com, or you can email us at tonezonela@gmail.com. You can find our phone number. It's 818-851-0148 is our Tone Zone number. Also, I would like to, you know, I'll stress that the products that we use to build these, the connectors, I mean, we use a, what we believe is a high quality, very functional right angle pancake connectors. These are really common these days. These are particular ones we use are Hycon. We like them because they're come from Germany. The engineering, the design, the thought into them, I think, is a more, little bit more superior audio quality. We really like that. This the wiring I use for Jets is low profile. Magami makes this, but in this case, this is Klotz, which is another Germany company. We really like it. We've had great results. I think audibly, it's very friendly in the mid-range. I mean, like Jeff said, I'm a guitar player. We do guitar speak. We kind of understand these things, you know. We know when to use and when not to use buffers. We don't just, we're not just going to saddle you with a bunch of stuff that you may not need. It has to be specific to you and your setup. I asked Jeff these questions. I asked most clients, like, what kind of guitar do you play? What kind of amp do you use? These all factor in your pedal board and how we go about doing it and the components. And if somebody needs a recommendation, we do it. We do carry boutique pedals, and we also carry, you know, we sell Pedal Train. We're dealers, authorized dealers for this, and Voodoo Labs and Strymon and a lot of things. We carry the products we believe in, that we've used, yeah, that we know about. We don't just saddle somebody with something that we don't know anything about and you're stuck with it. We're going to be right there to hold your hand as much as possible.
We're out of time. I just want to thank Kathy for a great pedal board and for coming down here, and Doug for hanging with us. Also, to check out Sister Skinner. They're great. And what I want to tell you, this is part one. Part two, next year, we're going to do the electric guitar. And we've already started talking about that. And she has like 3 or 4 pages of sketches. So just to give you an idea.
Oh, yeah.
This one's going to be interesting. But this is just the start. So we'll leave you with this one. But next year, there's going to be more. Because the electric guitar pedal, there's much more stuff on it. And I'll explain that a little later as we go. But anyway, everybody, thank you so much. We'll see you next week. And Kathy, then thanks again for a great pedal board.
Well, thank you for letting me build it for you, Jeff. I really enjoyed it.
Everybody, we'll see you next week. Have a good show.